Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's time for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Friday, January 11th. Let's cock-a-doodle-do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speed, the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, inaugural FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasía, the King, Scott Angles. Scotty, I'm getting excited. It's Friday going into what I consider the best weekend in football. Everybody's pretty much up. How you feeling about this weekend, Scotty?
I'm feeling excited. Bring it on, man. Let's go.
Absolutely fired up is the King, Scott Angle, as he should be. Scotty, you know, on Friday we talk a lot about injuries and stuff. Honestly, the only injury, the only player that I think in these four games that is a viable skill player that has any kind of question hanging over his head, because listen, everyone's going to go. It's the divisional weekend. If we're excited, you know they're excited too. The only player that I know of that has any kind of offensive value that is questionable going into this weekend is Cole Beasley, right, with that ankle?
No, Sammy Watkins is also practiced this week, and he could be a game-time decision as well. They said they're not sure if he's going to play, but he's had good practices, so something to watch. They really don't know if he's going to play or not, but I think they're trying to push him to be ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you can't, you know, push yourself through and be ready to go, if he was limited in practice this week, right?
Yeah, Watkins. They said, you know, he had some good practices, but, Andy Reid said he's still not sure if he's going to be ready or not.
All right, so, you know, a couple of wide receivers we want to keep our eye on. Sammy Watkins on the Kansas City and Cole Beasley on Dallas on Saturday night. It looks like he really hasn't practiced much. But remember, I said at the very beginning of the week they were going to be very cautious with that ankle because they want him on the field. Right, Scotty?
They do. You know, he's a key guy for them on third downs and key passing downs also. Blake Jarwin has not practiced all week, so he could be a game-time decision as well. And to a lesser degree, Spencer Ware is iffy, but you know, you want to see if he plays or not. I think Damian Williams is clearly the lead running back there, but how much will Ware cut into its touches? I don't think it'll make a big difference, because I think even if Damian Williams has still lesser of a workload, he's the kind of guy that can do something at every touch.
Yeah, I agree with that. He does have that kind of breakaway speed, that dynamic ability. We've seen flashes of it. I don't think he's Kareem Hunt, though. I'll tell you that right now, Scotty. And the Kansas City Chiefs are 3-3 since that went down, you know. And that brings me to another quick thing.
I've heard that, you know, that they're not as good without Hunt. I don't think really that. You know, missing Hunt is the reason. I'm not saying you said it, but I've seen other people saying it. He's not quite Kareem Hunt, but he certainly has been explosive and dynamic at times. So I think they haven't missed a beat. It's just, to me, this team has not been clutch enough. They've been 1-4 against playoff teams. Two and four against playoff teams this year, and one of them they beat in the first week of the season.
Right. And, you know, it took them overtime to beat the Baltimore Ravens. So if those were the two team, if those were the two wins, you know, the first week of the season, right, against the Chargers, and then overtime against Baltimore.
I don't discount the overtime and look at that as a negative, because when you win in overtime,
fair.
It's like I'm talking about, it's about being clutch. You know, in that Baltimore game, they were clutch, but in their other four losses, all to playoff teams, they were not clutch.
So I'd like to dive into that a little bit more, Scotty. We've both been bringing up the stat. They're 3-3 in their last six games, and two of those wins are to the Oakland Raiders. You know, we've been saying that a lot all week long. When you say you don't think missing Hunt is the kind of key ingredient, you know, remember, I think it was maybe early in the week when we did like the autopsy of the teams that lost in Wild Card Weekend, and we talked about what, like, say, the Houston Texans needed, and it was things like the offensive line or another, you know, wide receiver, that sort of thing. If I were to ask you an autopsy on the last six games of the Chiefs, and you're saying it's because they have not been clutch, what does that really mean exactly to you? Like, they're just not making the plays at crunch time? That's what you're talking about?
Exactly. You know, they're not doing what is needed to win. You know, they're not getting the key defensive stop very often. You know, that's been a big reason for those four losses, not getting a key stop when they have to, you know, in those big sort of games. Like, they're compiling the numbers. They're compiling the numbers, but, you know, like the game against Seattle, you know, they had a four and out at the end of the game.
Right.
You know, the game against the Chargers, you know, they couldn't start the Chargers from driving down the field. They couldn't stop them from coming back. It seems against the better teams that they're not able to close the deal.
All right, so here, let me ask you this, though, because this is another – I want to try to mesh this with one of my other narratives from last weekend, right? When you talk about the Chiefs are just not clutch right now, you said they weren't making the plays maybe on the defensive side of the ball, not getting the stops when they need to, not getting off the field in big situations. And I'll give you that, Scotty. I want to explore this idea also on the offensive side of the ball, because all season long, you know, we've talked about Patty Mahomes as like a risk taker, a gunslinger, right? That sort of thing. I'm reminded of the play, Scott, remember when Tyreek Hill was on a bad heel and they completed on like 3rd and 15, like a 40-yard pass play.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Okay. So here's the thing. I would say many people would consider that play clutch, right?
Yes.
However, you know, just like a lot of other plays and throws Patty Mahomes made this season, it was kind of a risky play, one of those almost like 50-50 kind of balls. Like, he's made a lot of plays this year where you're like, oh my God, how did he do that? Or you're like, no, yes, you know, that sort of thing. That's the case, and those things are almost risky or 50-50 kind of things. Like, half the time it's going to look like he's clutch on offense, and half the time it's going to look like he's not. Does that jive with you, Scott?
Well, when you look at the fact that he's only had 12 interceptions, which is fifth lowest in the league, I don't know much how I can blame Pat Mahomes for this.
Okay.
You know, he hasn't turned the ball over in key spots. You know, every game has been different. It's just they've lost some very close games
right. Against
the good teams that they play. They lost by seven to Seattle. You know, they lost by one to the Chargers. They lost by three to the Rams, and they lost by three to the Patriots.
Yeah, so here's
so maybe
my thing,
you could
right?
blame, say, maybe you could blame Mahomes in the regard that he hasn't been able to make that big throw like he did the Ravens games consistently against the better teams. But watching those games, it's like the defense can't get off the field when it counts.
So let me ask you this, though, right? And here's the last part I wanted to say on my narrative, in fact, right? So I'm not blaming Patty Mahomes. You're right. He hasn't thrown the, you know, he has only had 12 turnovers or what have you, right? So, but here's the last part. This Saturday, tomorrow, it's going to be like 35 degrees in Kansas City. And remember, we've talked about like these quarterbacks, their first time in the playoffs, maybe underperforming a little bit. And especially with someone who's a risk taker, a gunslinger like Mahomes. If he is just a little bit off his game, or the lights are a little bit too bright, and he's already a guy who's, you know, this kind of quote-unquote gunslinger, you know, and that's kind of the line of him being clutch or not on some level, I think it sets up for if he has a little bit of an off game, for the mistakes to come and compound themselves, especially if you think the Chiefs need to deliver and be clutch against a good team in the Colts that they haven't necessarily been able to beat. You said it yourself, they're 2-4 against playoff teams. I'm just saying, is this a recipe where, like, things have to go really right for Patty Mahomes? All the coin flips have to come up heads, right? And if one or two don't, because it's bad weather, because it's the bigger stage, could this really lend itself more towards Indianapolis?
Yes, exactly. And I have a preview of this game up on rotoexperts.com right now. And I follow Bucky Brooks on Twitter. He's one of my favorite analysts. And he talked about the new quarterbacks, the rookie or first-time quarterbacks in the playoffs. He said the NFL playoffs are just a different animal. Everything is faster. Everything is more intense. There's more magnification on mistakes and turns of momentum. It's a different atmosphere, and Mahomes hasn't experienced that. So he could either, A, get off to a slow start, or B, you know, he can make a mistake in the clutch. I've seen some of the best quarterbacks, and we've seen it. Some of the best quarterbacks during the regular season do unlikely things in the playoffs. I think back to Peyton Manning's interception in the Super Bowl. Russell Wilson doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. I saw him have a 4-interception game against Green Bay. So the turnovers, the possibility for turnovers becomes much more magnified for and Andrew Luck's got playoff experience. He's won 3 of his last 4 playoff games, and his very first playoff win came in 2013 against the Chiefs when he threw for well over 400
yards. Was that like the 45-41 game? He had a huge comeback.
That was the 45-44 game, 21-point comeback, the second largest in NFL history. That was Andy Reid's first playoff game as a Chiefs coach. He threw for well over 400 yards, 4 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Nobody's hotter right now than the Indianapolis Colts. No team is hotter in the league right now. It's you know, the Chiefs look good on paper, but Andy Reid's coaching resume as a playoff coach in Kansas City is just, it's not good. You know, he's only won one playoff game in his entire tenure with the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, I look at the coaching factor, and I think you make an excellent point. As good as Mahomes has, he's been, he has never played a playoff game. That's why I'd rather have Luck, you know, in Daly this week.
Yeah, right. And I'm just saying that these, you know, you put that first-year quarterback thing with the bright lights, right? I think a lot of people are starting to make that point. And I think it impacted Deshaun Watson a bunch last week. It clearly impacted Lamar Jackson. And I think it impacted Trubisky a little bit as well. So if that's a thing, you know, I just think that with a quarterback like Mahomes, where there's so much variance in his game, you know, and everything has come up roses. I bring up that Tyreek Hill play and some of the other amazing, magnificent things that he has done this season. With a quarterback with that much variance, right, and that much kind of risk-reward, you throw in the bright lights of the playoffs, and it could be a recipe for an underperformance. It sounds like you and I view this game similarly, Scott. It sounded that way
all season. Ultimately, we do.
Yeah, we'll make our official pick.
I disagree that there's variance in his game because, you know, the lack of turnovers. He's been fantastic. 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. I don't see much variance. Where I do agree with you, though, that in this playoff atmosphere that he's never played in before, that all of a sudden we could see variance. And would not just surprise me to see him throw 3 interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, we could belabor the variance point, but to me, the last thing I'll say is it's sort of like on an extreme level, Scott, it's almost like Patty Mahomes is a Major League Baseball pitcher who went 19-1 but had an ERA of like 5.5 and just got 10 run support. You know, it's like there's a lot of plays he made that very easily could have gone the other way.
Yeah, like you said, we could belabor it, but I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
Okay. Yeah. All right, fair enough. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. We'll see. We'll see on Sunday if those.
But he could
plays...
have his worst game of the. He could have his worst. Game
we'll see.
This week. So
it is possible, but it does sound like both you and I are leaning Indianapolis. We'll make our official picks a little bit later on in the show. Other things that did cross the radar for me yesterday about non-playoff teams, real quick. Two players that I want to ask you about. One is Antonio Brown. Art Rooney said on a radio show yesterday, the owner, that he really can't envision AB with the Steelers come training camp, says he's probably not going to cut him because of the cap space and all that stuff, but that it sounds like there's energy building for him to be on the move. The other player I'm talking about is Leonard Fournette, Scott, who apparently met with Jacksonville leadership to quote-unquote, like, clear the air. He met with Marone and Coughlin, I think. You know, so with Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette, talk to me about both of their chances of, you know, being with their current teams come summertime.
Well, you know, anything can happen, really. But it seems like everything's pointing to Antonio Brown being traded. They said they're not going to release him. And I think it'll be kind of hard to go back. No more Antonio Brown, no more Le'Veon Bell. It's going to be James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster, it seems like. Mm. And, you know, we've done it early. We're doing an early mock draft with
sure
the FTSY crew. And Juju Smith-Schuster was one of the first receivers off the board. I think that'll bump James Washington up, too. You know, maybe this is why they drafted him, et cetera. Well, I think they wanted a really good third wide receiver, but maybe somebody that could step into that number two role, sort of, with Fournette. You know, it is what it is. You know, they've obviously sat down and talked to him, and they're going to try to ride with him. But the guy can't stay healthy. He's the new Fred Taylor.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I have Leonard Fournette in that mock draft that you were talking about. I don't like him, Scott, but it was in the fourth round, you know, and I was like, oh, maybe this is, you know, good value at this point. You know, this is a guy who was a first round pick in most fantasy drafts this year, and he was still sitting there for me late in the fourth round, and I was like, at this point, maybe I pull the trigger on him. With Antonio Brown, though, Scotty, here's the thing. There's a lot of talk right now. You know, at this point last year, if I were to tell you that, like, you know, Eli Apple would still be a member of the Giants at the start of this year, it would have thought it was crazy. You know, I feel like a lot of teams, there's a lot of talk at times, and then maybe cooler heads prevail once we get into, you know, March and April. You really think it's poison to the point that, like, AB and the Steelers need to divorce? Or do you think, like, this is just talk right now?
It's certainly seeming that way. If you're asking me whether they're telling the truth or not, I think that we've seen with our own eyes Antonio Brown getting very upset on the sidelines. So, you know, I think there's a lot of authenticity to this.
All right. We'll find out. There's only one way to find out. What I will say is your boy Davis Maddock over there on rotoexperts.com, the mark of fantasy excellence, 365 days a year talking about football. He took your boy Juju, and not only did he take him above Antonio Brown, Scotty, he was the number one wide receiver taken overall. He was the first wide receiver off the board in this draft, ahead of Julio Jones, ahead of Devontae Adams, ahead of DeAndre Hopkins, ahead of Mike Thomas or anybody else. One thing's for sure, your boy Davis Maddock loves taking a stand. Juju and Damian Harris is where he went. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Roto Experts in the Morning, come on right back.
If you're someone that needs fantasy sports advice every day, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network has you covered. When you download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, you get the top fantasy advice every single day, right through the weekend. Be sure to listen to our weekend warriors like College Football Today.
Welcome to College Football Today.
Weekend Fantasy Update.
They call me the Fantasy Jesus.
In this league,
it is never short of exciting at ITL.
And so much more. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app in the iTunes and Google Play Store now. And keep the best fantasy experts right in your pocket all day long and all week long.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. and they were able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And Scotty, I got to tell people that the DailyRoto.com partnership with Data Golf is back for 2019 with all new premium fantasy golf and betting tools. We got all new lineup optimizer, custom settings, advanced groupings, customizable projections for FanDuel and DraftKings, ownership projections, PGA finish probabilities, a simulator, outright and top 20 market betting tools, three ball betting tools, a chat, and a lot more. Go to DailyRoto.com, click on the Go Premium tab, choose Golf, and then enter the promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. That's right, DailyRoto.com, Go Premium, Golf, and enter the promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. Hey, by the way, Scotty.
I'll tell you something, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. First, okay. You get the optimizer, okay?
You get the
optimizer, and then you get the women, okay?
First,
you get the optimizer, and then you get the women.
Really interesting. Yeah, because listen,
you get the optimizer, then you get the power, and then you get the women.
I like that because listen, and don't forget about the money, okay? You get the money, power, and respect, and the women. We have made seven.
I told you, you get the optimizer first, okay? The optimizer get you the money, okay?
I got you. All right, sounds like that. It sounds like the optimizer is the key to all your success. And here's what I got to tell you guys. Roto Experts in the Morning should be your key to success. And Scotty, I got to let the cat out of the bag. You know about the FSTA, right, Scotty? You know about the FSTA?
Yes, the Fantasy Sports Trade Association.
Absolutely. Yes, when they have their conferences coming up, I believe it's in Florida somewhere. I believe it's in
Tampa.
A couple of weeks. And they're going
January 22nd and 25th.
There it is. And they are going to be announcing the winners of their awards. And Scotty, we're a finalist. Roto Experts in the Morning is a finalist for the best radio show in the industry. Scotty, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations to you as well. And just so some of the listeners know, too, you know, there's two separate rounds of awards. First for the FSTA, which is the governing body of fantasy, and then the Fantasy Sports Writers Association awards as well. Back in 2014, Roto Experts, which is the longest running morning show in the fantasy industry, won best radio show for the FSWA, which was nominated twice. So it's great to be nominated for the first time for the FSTA. Congratulations to our friends at the Fantasy Football Frenzy, who are also nominated as well.
Goon Squad, Chris Vetter, Jim Day, and of course, our man, the fantasy executive, Corey Parsons. A lot of great stuff from our colleagues here in the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hopefully, you know, maybe the awards keep on coming in. But I think it is, you know, whether we win or not, you know, it's always like they always say, it's a thrill to be nominated. So let's keep on going, Scott, and prove to everybody more of the content, more of the insight, the analysis, and the fun and functional sports content that people are used to here on Roto Experts in the Morning. Scotty, one other piece of news that I saw, quote from one of the new head coaches that I really thought was interesting before we dive in back into these divisional round games. Did you see Bruce Arians yesterday, who, you know, I have a growing man crush on because of the way he talks to players, the way he's hiring African-American offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators. Did you hear his kind of scouting report on Jameis Winston, Scotty? He says, listen, that the talent is there and that he just needs to, quote-unquote, be a little bit smarter. To be quite honest, Scott, I think that is a very accurate assessment of Jameis Winston. And here's the other thing I'll say about this. Bruce Arians was retired, right? He already has a relatively decent reputation in NFL circles. He wouldn't come out of retirement for a job saddled with a quarterback that he knew was going to be blunt guts trash that he was not going to be able to work with. Arians, who has worked with a lot of people and been an offensive mind, he must see something in Jameis. He must think he can kind of develop Jameis, because if not, I don't think he would have, you know, entered the fray. He didn't have to do this. He would only do this if he thought he had some good clay to mold. Do you buy that, Scotty?
Well, it is what it is. I mean, if he doesn't want Winston, what else is going to be out there? You know, Todd Monken.
No, but I'm saying if he didn't want Winston, he didn't have to accept the job. He was fine and retired. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. If he didn't want Winston, he could just not want to coach the Bucks. That's what he could do.
I guess, you know, that's one way to look at it. But he does, in that regard, he does have a quarterback with some potential, who was an early or very early pick in the draft. But, you know, he could also look at it like, look, if Winston isn't my guy after a year, I could go out and get somebody else too.
I guess that's true, you know, but all week, Scotty, we've been talking about how important, you know, certain things are when you're looking at a coaching opportunity, right? We've been talking about the connection with the front office and stuff like that. And one of the things everybody kind of acknowledges is, like, the quarterback is the most important position in sports. So, like, I'm just thinking about it. You know what I mean, Scott? Like, if you are a free agent and you're looking at your options, right? This is not like a situation where he was already there. He's choosing to be there, and he's choosing to be in a situation where Jameis Winston is his quarterback. You know what I mean? So I think that he must see something there in Jameis. And I think his kind of thumbnail sketch that the talent is there, but that he's got to be a little bit smarter, quite frankly, is accurate. And maybe that's the focus. Like, I guess, let me ask it to you this way, Scotty, like, what do you think could be the ceiling for Jameis Winston if he does, in fact, clean up his turnover behavior, shall we say? If Bruce Arians is, like, putting that out there right now to sound the alarm that this is how I want you to be, bro, and let's say Jameis does take that step and cleans that up a little bit, what's the ceiling for a guy like Jameis Winston?
I think you're looking at, like, about 32 touchdown passes, you know, in that range, because, like I've been saying all along, and other people who follow the Buccaneers have been saying it too, he needs the support of the running game, good running game, right, quality running game. He's never had it. And he can't put everything on this young, erratic guy's shoulders. He needs that support from a solid running back who can also catch passes out of the backfield. I think that's a big, big key to getting Jameis Winston pointed in the right direction. You're not going to look for this kid to carry an offense, but he can make explosive plays. So, you know, I'm not of the mindset that we're going to see, like, the best fantasy numbers ever. I think he might become a better NFL quarterback, but I'm not seeing a ceiling of, say, like, 36 touchdown passes.
Okay, fair enough. Do you think, though, he could be a top 12 fantasy quarterback next year?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, okay. He's got weapons there. Even if Humphreys is gone, O.J. Howard, if he stays healthy, Chris Godwin in his third year, and obviously Mike Evans, and then a receiving back out of the backfield, you know, who could always probably take his passes on a swing, a flat, you know, something like that, you know, for some yardage there. There's still a lot of promise for Jameis Winston, but it's all about installing a good running game.
Yeah, so when you talk about that good running game, listen, I'm thinking my knee-jerk reaction, Scotty, is there are two running backs who I think are going to be available via free agency that if the Bucs could sign, could potentially fit that bill and could take away from division rivals, Scotty. I'm thinking about Tevin Coleman and Mark Ingram. Do you think either of those two guys could be a fit?
Yeah, I was mentioning both those guys earlier this week when we talked about it. Ingram is more of a fit if you're not going to believe in Ronald Jones. I think Tevin Coleman is a better fit because you don't have to necessarily take one running back to spell the running game. If Bruce Arians decides that he has the confidence in Ronald Jones to start handing him the ball more often than he did last year, I think a dual combination of Tevin Coleman and Ronald Jones could possibly work here, with Tevin Coleman being that receiving back out of the backfield. I think Tevin Coleman proved he could be a feature back. If he decides that Ronald Jones is not my guy, at least for this year, then you go ahead and get a guy like Ingram.
Yeah, okay, I think that makes sense. We'll keep an eye out on that as the offseason churns on. But we are hot in the middle of the season, middle of the postseason, shall I say, right now. So let's get back into it. We talked a lot about the Colts and the Chiefs. Let's talk a little Cowboys and Rams, Scotty. I mean, here's my thing. I love what that Dallas Cowboys defense has done, you know, but I think it's a tall task for them to go to Los Angeles against the Rams and get it done, you know. You even have the Cowboys. You have the Cowboys as your fourth ranked defense this week in your rankings, which we can find on rotoexperts.com and the 365 NFL site that it now is. However, I'm going to tell you this, Scotty. You know, I'm in a tournament. I'm in a GPP this weekend, and I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys. I have some shares of the Dallas Cowboys as my defense. I mean, they are the, you know, third from lowest, you know, in terms of price of the defense, and I was paying up in other places. I think there could be a narrative where they get it done. Talk to me about the potential of Chris Richard, this guy who's a hot commodity right now. What's the potential of this Cowboys defense to stifle the Rams offense? We've seen it happen before. The Rams put up a goose egg in Chicago. You know, what do you think is the potential for the Cowboys to actually, you know, not control the game a little bit?
Well, they can always control the game, but it's not with their defense. It's with their offense.
It's with Zeke, yeah.
You know, what you're looking for here is not to keep the score down necessarily, but you want the sacks and you want the turnovers.
That's right.
Dallas was 12th in takeaway giveaway, you know, that which is very respectable. You know, they were plus three. It's, you know, I guess just a little bit above the league average. So, you know, but I don't see them as a team on this offensive line, you know, getting a great pass rush. Jared Goff is very good at home as well, you know, so there's something else to be said with that. You know, I don't see him making a lot of mistakes in a game like this. He could make a key mistake, but Dallas had 39 sacks. You know, that's about middle of the road in the NFL. Then you look at the interceptions. You know, they're a very solid secondary, but they're not over opportunistic. They only had 9 interceptions. That's like 26 in the NFL. So from a sack and interception sort of outlook, I don't like the Cowboys defense.
Okay. Let me ask you on the other side, you know, same kind of matchup when the Cowboys defense is on the field. With L.A., listen, what are we thinking about Todd Gurley this week? I mean, he was removed from the injury report, so, you know, you have to assume that with the extra week of rest and things of that nature, that he's going to be good to go. However, I did hear this week McVay say that, like, they're going to still mix in C.J. Anderson, that he performed so well, you know, in the last, what, 2 weeks of the season, that they believe he's earned, you know, it may be a thing where they mix him in every third or fourth series just to give Gurley a blow, but, you know, even if that's the case, then that means Gurley's still not the same kind of workhorse that he has been. Do you buy the coach speak, Scott? You think they're going to mix in C.J. Anderson, you know, as a change of pace or every third drive just to spell Gurley? Or do you think Gurley is this kind of 90% workload like he is, you know, most of the season?
It's very, very hard to read right now. McVay was saying that in his press conference that he looks like Todd, that he's ready to go. And it may not be a thing of health either, just to play devil's advocate.
Right, I'm saying, like, C.J. Anderson just looked good.
It could be when you have two very good running backs. You see this with every other NFL teams. If they feel they have two very good running backs, they'll use one to give the other guy a breather if he's healthy, or to give the defense two different looks. C.J. Anderson is more of a north-south runner than Todd Gurley, so it's a different look. So I think they don't want to overwork Gurley either coming back from the injury. But, you know, there's always going to be a running back to take 5-6 carries away from the starter. So I don't know if I could overrate this in terms of what we expect with Gurley health-wise.
Well, I say it this way for another reason, Scott. I mean, you know, Todd Gurley is the most expensive running back on FanDuel right now, right at 9,000.
Yeah.
Then you got Zeke at 8,700. Kamara.
There's no
at
way I'm spending up for Todd Gurley in daily.
That's what I mean. You know what I mean? Like, if there's even any kind of notion that instead of being a 95% workhorse, he's going to be in a an 80-20 split with C.J. Anderson, which, listen, I understand. You got Gurley coming back, you know, for the first time in a couple of weeks. C.J. Anderson has proved himself. He's earned snaps, and I understand all that. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, that being said, if he goes from 95% of the carries to 80% of the carries, I think that puts him below Ezekiel Elliott in terms of value in DFS. Would you agree?
Yes, but I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that I'm not using him for the reasons that you are. I'm not trying to predict a 15% reduction in his carries, and still 80% of Todd Gurley is still damn good. The reason why I'm not spending up for him is because I think Elliott has a better matchup, and the way Damian Williams is priced, especially on FanDuel where he's cheaper than Spencer Ware, I have to lock Damian Williams in. So to me, it's Damian Williams and who else?
All right, that's interesting. Let me ask you this. Going back real quick to that 2019 mock draft that we did, our guy, the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, took Damian Williams in the third round. You think Damian Williams, A, is going to be the starting running back for the Chiefs next year, or B, warrants a third-round pick in fantasy football drafts? I mean, he took Damian Williams with guys like A.J. Green still on the board, with running backs that I like better. For example, the next running back that was taken was Kerryon Johnson. I actually think Kerryon Johnson is going to have a huge sophomore season. What do you think about Damian Williams as high as the third round?
Yeah, you have to look at it in the context of when the draft is being done. You know, right now, we're doing it while the playoffs are still on, and he's looking like the number one running back for that team. Will he stay the number one running back for that team? I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody can answer that. You know, if he has a huge game this weekend, you know, the playoffs, I think, are a great measuring stick. If he has a huge game this weekend, yeah, he could be that number one running back. Has a great rest of the playoffs. If he doesn't, if he pulls a Chris Carson, you know, maybe they're looking at him in another direction. I don't think, they didn't pay him a ton of money to extend him, right?
Not a ton. No, not a ton. I think it was a three-year extension.
I think it's still open-ended as to whether he's that starter or not, and nobody can answer that question yet. I think that's still to be determined, but if you look at it in the context of, okay, you know, we're doing the draft now, we don't know, you could make the case for it. But I would be like you and pass on him because, to me, it's too much of an uncertainty of what the workload is. We just don't know yet.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Scotty, we got one more segment left. We're gonna take a quick break. But it sounds to me like you and I are both on the Indianapolis Colts and that we're both on the Los Angeles Rams. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I feel much more comfortable about the Colts. Check out my preview right now, rotoexperts.com. I say Colts 38 and Chiefs 34. The Colts have faced the Chiefs four times in the playoffs and never lost.
One last thing on this Colts game. You know, I was so impressed last weekend, Scotty, with Pierre Desir, their quarterback. Yeah. And he's like a lanky kind of cornerback, right? Long arms, that sort of thing, right? So would it be crazy, because he's not necessarily the best matchup for a guy like Tariq Hill? He's a long arm kind of guy, not a speed kind of guy. Would it be crazy for them to do something unconventional and really tab Desir more on Travis Kelce?
I think that Tyreek Hill's gonna move around a lot, so he's also gonna see Kenneth Moore.
Right.
Who's a very good corner. You know, I could see it happening.
Right? Because he's that long arm, the bigger body guy.
That is a great matchup for Kelce. No team in the NFL allowed more catches and yards to tight ends than the Indianapolis Colts this year. So they're going to need help there. Double coverage.
So maybe they're going to need to try something different, right? And so I just saw what he did with D-Hop last week, and I just know he's not a great matchup for Tyreek Hill. We'll see. We'll talk about the Sunday games on the other side of the break. Roto Experts in the Morning, award nominated.
Maurice Allen, 2015-2016 European Long Drive Tour Champion, 2017 World Number One. Me personally, I keep my game face on me all the time. Especially coming out of the bunker, leaving the range, or even leaving the course. What's your story?
Go to GameFaceGrooming.com for all your athletic facial wipes and body cleansing needs.
New year, new you. Yeah, you hear that saying every single New Year's Day, right? But it takes money to get that new you for the new year. You need money for that gym membership. You need money to buy the expensive, healthier groceries. And you need money to go on that awesome vacation with the cute girl or guy in your office. But there is something to help you get that money, and it's free. When you download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, you get to listen to the best fantasy sports analysis 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for free. Fantasy analysis, betting odds, and plenty of entertainment to help you get that money you need to start your New Year's journey. Go to the iTunes or Google Play Store, download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, and start listening to the best fantasy sports and betting analysis in the industry. We want you to drop those holiday pounds. We want you to take that awesome vacation. And we want to see you start 2019 right by downloading the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're here to give you that cash to start a new year with a new you. Fantasy Sports Today.
McAdoo was seemingly ill-equipped to be a head coach. He didn't know how to run a press conference without embarrassing himself.
But how do we know that Gase? Like, Gase has done this for what? Like,
he's been a head coach for 3 years. It's the first head coach.
3 years in Miami?
It's the first head coach the Jets have hired since Bill Parcells that has had any previous head coaching experience. It's the first offensive-minded head coach since, what's up, Rich Kotite? Not a great transition. You know he's better than Rich Kotite, who lasted only the 2 years.
Weekdays, 8 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Welcome back. We got some real love going on. The King and the Spitting Statistician right here on what is officially one of the best radio shows in the industry, Roto Experts in the Morning. We were talking about some of these Saturday games. We were breaking those down. In our last segment, Scotty, let's talk about these Sunday games and make sure we, you know, hold ourselves accountable and make our official picks. Chargers and Patriots, Sunday morning. Pats are a four-point favorite. Scotty, I got to ask you, I want to start with this. One of the things Davis Maddox said to us yesterday when he was on with, Blewett and myself over there on FST was that there's maybe going to be some weather on Sunday in Foxborough. Do you think that that's going to have any impact? And if so, what might that be?
Well, it really depends on what exactly the weather report is. You know, I had this conversation with somebody in the Roto Expert Slack chat channel. You can't just look at, and I'm not saying you're doing this. A lot of fans do this. They'll just look at the fact that there's snow or there's rain, and they'll negatively react. So you know, always go to NFLweather.com. I think it's a great site for taking a look at the weather. And you're talking about L.A. and New England. You know, right now I'm looking at the forecast, 22 degrees, mostly cloudy. And it doesn't predict any heavy wind. So 5 miles an hour. So I don't think there's anything to be concerned about in this game yet.
Got you. Let me ask you something about this, though, also in general. Like, you know, this is a Sunday game, right? A lot of people are going to be playing DFS with, like, a Saturday and a Sunday lineup, right? So they're going to be making these picks. You know, they're going to be selecting players a day before the Pats-Chargers game kicks off, right? So I know there's late swap and things of that nature, but at that point in the weekend, you're only going to have, like, you're only going to have 50% of your options to swap to. So how do you do that when you don't – when you have – you know, incomplete weather information, Scotty?
Again, it's, you know, you go to a site like NFL Weather and the forecast is constantly changing, but you can't overreact to it either. It's like I'm looking at the Kansas City Indianapolis game. This calls for flurries in the first half, but simply overcast in the second half with 10-mile-an-hour winds. You just can't negatively react. What you have to do is you got to get the most detail is, you know, with a game like Kansas City and Indianapolis, when will the snow fall? Yesterday they said it was going to fall in the morning. Today it's going to extend into the early afternoon. Yesterday was light snow. Today it's flurries. So, and you also have to remember that in the snow, the offense always has the advantage because, you know,
they know where they're going.
Precise routes, et cetera, whereas the defense has to react. So I don't know how much you could really if this is a driving snowstorm, that's something different. And you're also talking about, you know, when you play a full weekend slate, you know, they're also showdown games where you're just playing that one game. So, but if you're playing the full slate, you just have to go with the best information you have. And if it comes down to really a tough decision between two similarly ranked players and you want to go with the player that's not dealing with any weather, I can understand that. But at the same time, I want to get the most details about the report that I can and not overreact. That is the important part for every fantasy player to know, because every fantasy player goes, oh, snow! And it's like, it's, you know, the snow could be gone by noon and the game could start at 4:30.
Okay. Let me ask you this one. I'm going back into a DFS lineup that I made over on FanDuel, right? And I got Rob Gronkowski as my tight end, Scott. And let me tell you why. He's the fourth most expensive tight end at 6,200, right? I think, like, you're really very rarely going to see Rob Gronkowski that cheap. Now, I acknowledge that he looks like a shell of his former self. However, they just had that week off, right? And I got a sneaky feeling that this is, like, what they were, quote-unquote, resting him for or saving him for. Is this, I think this is like the last time he can summon up, you know, like vintage Gronk. I also believe, Scotty, in my opinion, there is a greater than 50% chance that this is the last game Rob Gronkowski ever plays in Foxborough. And if that is the case, maybe they're going to try and take him out on a good note. I just feel like this could be the last hurrah for Rob Gronkowski, and he already is the fourth most expensive tight end at only 6,200. I think, oddly enough, am I crazy to say there could be some weird value with Gronk?
Not crazy to say, because we saw in the game against Miami that he's still capable of at any time
right.
of coming out and having a good game. So that's why you take the gamble with Gronkowski, especially in a tournament. To say they were saving him for this, I don't think so. I think he's certainly a shell of what he is. They weren't saving him for nothing. He's just not capable as he used to be. That said, I'm spending on Eric. If I'm not doing Travis Kelce, I'm definitely doing Eric Ebron. Eric Ebron, the Colts set a record for tight end touchdown. Well, not a record, but they had the most tight end touchdowns in the league this year with 21. That was the most since 2011 when the Patriots did it. Eric Ebron led the NFL with 13 receiving touchdowns for a tight end. The Kansas City Chiefs allowed the most tight end touchdowns in the NFL with 10. If I'm not going Kelce, I have to go Ebron.
What about Ertz?
If I'm not going Kelce, I'm going Ebron.
Okay. Okay.
It's either spend up or save more money with a guy I feel like is almost nearly guaranteed to get in the end zone.
Would you make a gentleman's bet with me, Scotty, that I'm going to take Gronk over Ebron this week? That I think Gronk will score more fantasy points than Ebron this week? We haven't done a gentleman's bet in a while. I'll take Gronk. You take Ebron.
I don't even know how the other ones turned out, to be honest with you. I don't think we went over that. But
we can. I have them, but we can go over
it.
You know
what, though?
Not when it's a football Friday, but you know,
it would not surprise me to see Gronk, you know, have one of his good games and maybe outscore Ebron. I just think Ebron is far safer. I'm not saying what you're putting out there is crazy. Okay. I just strongly prefer Ebron.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. And, you know, when I spoke about that,
our
like
other gentleman's
saving
bets, I was in strong disagreement with you.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. That makes sense. We can go over them. I have some of them logged on one of our – on my sheet where we was tracking our picks and that sort of thing. We could look at that. Listen, between AFC and NFC championship game and the Super Bowl, we got 2 weeks, and we got to talk about stuff so we can recap all of our kind of gentleman's bets and stuff like that at that point in time. And like you said – I think you're right. The word saving him may be a misnomer. It's just more for me, it's like, listen, with that bye week and stuff, he's going to be the healthiest he's been in a long time, you know? And it's almost like, if not now, when? You know, I think this could be maybe more they realize the game they need him to come through, that sort of thing. The last question I'll ask you about this Gronk thing and about this game in general, if you're the Chargers defense, right, and defense coordinator came up with a great scheme to face Lamar the second time around with the three safeties at the linebacker position. My question for you, Scott, is how do you deploy Derwin James in this game? Is he the guy who's shadowing Gronk? Is he kind of like that Gronk equalizer, being a guy that could try to take him away? Do you see Derwin James maybe more as a blitzer, you know, trying to put extra pressure on Brady along with Ingram and Bosa? Do you see James maybe as a guy who has his eye on a guy like James White out of the backfield? How would you deploy Derwin James this week, the all-pro rookie safety?
He's capable of being all three of those.
Right.
Only Gus Bradley knows exactly what he's going to do. I like the James White angle, though, a heck of a lot. Because should you really take your best defensive player and put him on Gronk the way Gronk is playing?
At this point, I don't know.
Maybe, but, you know, then if you don't, Gronk can burn you. You know, this guy is a unique chess piece. And Gus Bradley's going to come up with something very interesting, because I think they could blitz Brady without Derwin James. I don't know if you want to, like, waste Derwin James as just
you like blitzer. Ingram and Bosa getting pressure? You like Ingram and Bosa getting enough pressure with them rushing four?
Yes. Yeah, I think they can get some pressure up front. So you also have to count for Julian Edelman, too. So, you know, it might be a thing. Football is a game of adjustments. He might start out in one role and could adjust to another depending on the game flow.
Yeah, listen, absolutely. And the Chargers secondary is strong. You know, guys like Casey Hayward, Desmond King, and the like. So, you know, this game I think is going to be one of the tougher ones for us to call. Let's talk a little bit about that last game of the weekend, Scotty. The Philadelphia Eagles travel into the Dome to stand up and get crunk and try to be the day of the – or the dat – of the who dat, right? You know, can the Eagles go into the Dome? The only thing I think that's in the Eagles' favor right now, Scott, is this idea that it's really hard to, you know, crush a team twice in the same season. The Saints already beat the Eagles 41-7 earlier on in the season in the Dome.
Well, Doug Peterson is 4-0 in playoff games. Sean Payton,
Nick Foles has done his thing as an underdog, too.
Sean Payton is 7-5. So he's already gained gain ground on him. The Eagles and the Colts are seeking to become just the first team since 2010 to make it to the conference championship game as a number six seed. And, you know, this would be another significant accomplishment for the Nick Foles-led Eagles if they can do it, because no team in the last 7 years has went from number six seed to the conference title game.
That year, maybe it was that year when the Packers won it all. I know they did it from a wild card spot. Were they the sixth seed?
Yes.
It was them? Okay. I remember that Green Bay Packers team. That was kind of like, I think that season and that playoffs was kind of, I mean, people knew that Aaron Rodgers was great already, but that was kind of when Rodgers stamped himself as truly one of the cream of the crop, I think, elite quarterbacks, I think, in that playoff
run.
Whenever
a quarterback wins a Super Bowl,
right,
and he's a significant part of the formula. You know,
people stand up and take notice.
People view them differently around the league. It's why we talk about with the Eli Manning Hall of Fame argument, two-time Super Bowl MVP. That's in his favor.
Right.
You know, when Trent Dilfer won, though, everybody felt like it was the defense that won it. And then, you know, you look at somebody like Roethlisberger, he's regarded as elite quarterback because he's won two Super Bowls, even though he's had very good teams around him. Russell Wilson, you know, had a great defense with him, but he was the missing piece. So, you know, that's why he's highly regarded around the league. When you win a Super Bowl, when a quarterback wins a Super Bowl, this is why everybody's talking about Nick Foles' magic, because
Absolutely.
The guy won a Super Bowl with it. People take notice. Nobody took Nick Foles seriously until last February.
No, I think you're absolutely right. It's a great credential to have. Scotty, in this game, all week long, I've been talking about how I like Darren Sproles at 5,400 on FanDuel. I think he's going to have the most touches. And I've been telling you guys about how on the Saints side, I really like Ted Ginn Jr. as the number two wide receiver at only 4,500. Who's someone that you like in this game, off the beaten path maybe, who could be an interesting play in DFS out of this game?
I'm sorry. I was going to go to another game for that. for this game.
For Saints Eagles.
I would say Ted Ginn Jr.
You are with me on Ted Ginn.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on Ted Ginn Jr. As far as any of the other Eagles, I don't like. But, you know, I just will mention that Mo Alley Cox is a very interesting play. You could even flex him out for 2,500 on DraftKings.
So wait a second, because you were just telling me about how much you like Eric Ebron, And so now you're also going to take the second Colts tight end as well?
Yeah, by run 12 personnel.
Really? All right, fair enough. All right, so let's make it official, Scotty. We only got a couple
or
minutes left.
Or multiple lineups. I'm using Kelsey.
I got you.
And then I'm saving money to get Kelsey with Mo Alley Cox. You.
All right, fair enough. Let's make it official. We only got a few minutes left here. Scotty, Indianapolis Colts, Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are -557 is the total in this one. Everything I've heard out of you this week, I think you're thinking the Colts are going to win outright, so certainly you're taking them +5, right?
Yep, 38-34.
Yep, I am with you. I think this is the upset of the weekend. I think the Indianapolis Colts pull the win outright and keep it going. We've talked about it all season long. Andrew Luck and that team is just too hot. The Chiefs, I'm a little concerned about the first-year quarterback in the playoffs, or the first time in the playoffs. We shall see. Saturday night, the Dallas Cowboys travel to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. Scotty, the Rams are 7.5-point favorites. I know you think the Rams win the game, but do they win by more than 7 points, Scotty?
They'll cover, but yeah, it'll be close.
No, so Scotty, just so you know, when you say that it's close, that actually means they are not covering the point spread.
No, what I'm saying is the Cowboys will cover, but the Rams will
okay.
win.
So your bet is Cowboys +7.5.
Right.
Okay, got it. So you got Indianapolis Colts +5, Dallas +7.5, because you think the Rams will not cover. Dallas will be able to keep it close, and you'll take the Cowboys with the points.
The most interesting thing is, real quick, because I know we just got, the Cowboys pulled up their biggest postseason win, their biggest win last week in 22 years, and all of a sudden the fan base is re-galvanized. If they win this week, that's an even bigger win. This will be the best postseason in 22 years. Cowboy Nation is really going to come even more out of the woodwork if they win this week.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. If they win this one, also Dak Prescott then all of a sudden has the same amount of playoff wins on his roster, as I think he has more than
Tony Romo.
Yeah, absolutely. So
Tony Romo had two, and I think when people say, "How about them Cowboys?" it shows how long of a drought it's been since the team has been good. They're quoting something from 22 years ago. They
absolutely
win this week, Garrett's got to come up with a new catchphrase in the locker room.
All right, fair enough. I think this game is going to be relatively close until the third quarter, and then I think the Rams will score twice and pull away. So give me the Rams -7.5. Scotty, Chargers, Patriots. The Patriots are 4-point favorites. You like the Patriots to win by more than 4, or you think the Chargers keep it as a real close game?
I think the Chargers cover and the Patriots win a very, very close, like a 2-point game.
All right, so you like the Chargers +4 points. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
All right, so far you've got the Colts +5. You got the Cowboys +7.5. You got the Chargers +4. You like all the underdogs so far. Does that trend continue? Do you think the Eagles stay within a touchdown? The spread is 8 against the Saints, or is this the widest margin of the weekend? Do the Saints win by more than 8?
Too big of a spread. It's not going to be the blowout it was last time. So I say the Eagles cover, but lose by about a touchdown.
Interesting. So you like all 4 underdogs with the points this week. Is that correct, Scotty?
Yes. And the one I feel the least comfortable about is Philadelphia.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll take the Saints laying the 8 points. Give me the Saints -8. Give me the Rams -7.5. Give me the Indianapolis Colts +5. And I got to tell you the truth, Scotty. As you know more than almost anybody else, I have been on the Chargers all season long. I love these Chargers. I love what's going on there. But I don't think you make any money betting against Brady Belichick in this round. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to stay away from this game. I'm not going to touch this game because my heart is with the Chargers. My head is saying New England, so I'm staying away from it. So give me Colts +5, give me Rams -7.5, and give me the New Orleans Saints -8. I hope the Chargers keep it going, though, making my pick from way back in the preseason come to fruition. Hey, Scotty, best weekend in football, in my opinion. Have a great football weekend. We'll break it down on Monday, all right, brother man?
You too, bro.
All right, absolutely. FST up next on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.